everyone, and welcome to another episode of Between Two Studs. I'm Alex Studd.
And I'm Ron Studd.
Ron, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's episode 16. It's a sweet episode, I think.
Ah, I see. Pun on the sweet 16.
Yeah. But speaking of sweet people that I know, Candace, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Hi, happy sweet 16. And thanks for the sweet shout out. I'm sweet with a little bit of spice. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you on.
Candace, you know, I was actually just thinking about this. Of all of our guests so far, you might be our first Southerner. Because you were originally from Florida, Georgia area?
Yeah, I'm originally from Florida. My family is from Augusta, but we moved to Florida. So yes, I guess I'll take the first Southerner badge.
I think so. I mean, we've had people from Singapore. We've had people all over the Pacific, you know, the Pacific Northwest or the Northeast. But I think our first guest from the South. So we're happy that you joined us.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
I'm excited.
So Candace, first and foremost, how do you know us? What's the story?
So I met Ron Studd at work, and I've been working with him for, let's see, July will be a year. So for a while now, and he has been a great trainer at work. I can totally go to him with any questions. I have no judgment. He's just a really cool guy, like really great spirit, great energy. And he knows a little bit about everything. He's like a walking encyclopedia. And so I love it because we'll be talking about something. He's like, oh yes, I have a whole, you know, process on that or a thought about that. And I love it because I'm kind of that way as well. So that's how I know Ron. And then Alex, I just met you. And you just seem like the most loveliest person as well.
That's so, very kind.
Yes, you know, so that's how we met.
Awesome.
I love it. Turning it around, tell us about you. Tell us about you. What are your areas of interests?
Okay, so let's see. I am originally from Florida, moved to Atlanta about 10 years ago. So I don't know if I can say I'm a Floridian anymore. Do I still get to claim that? Not really sure. But I've been here.
What part of Florida were you from?
Okay, so I am originally from a small town called Fort Myers, Florida, near Naples. So,
well, you know, it's funny. Everyone from the Philadelphia area knows Fort Myers because that's where the Phillies play their spring training.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So from there, and moved to Orlando, and did like elementary, middle, high school there, and went to college in Tampa. So been there for a while, and after I graduated college, got this degree. I struggled in this degree in accounting, and I quit my job, and I was like, I've just got to go. I got to get out of here. I don't want to live here anymore. Orlando, you can only do so much Disney. Like, there's only so much Disney you can do, and so much Universal you can do, and Orlando is a very family-oriented town, so if you're like a college grad, young, there's not much there to really grow. So I quit my job, and I told my mom, I was like, look, I'm going to give myself 2 months. If I don't find anything, I'm going to move back home. And she's like, sure, no problem. But I was determined not to go back. So I moved up here with a friend, and the rest is history.
Wow. I think you get to keep Florida status, but it's funny. One of my very close friends lives in Orlando. So I don't want to hate on that city too much, but I hate that city. It's actually the only city in this country that I would not ever live in. You know what it is? I think it's to your point. It's such a city of the mouse, and everything around that city is to support the mouse.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's like the whole area is all about Mickey Mouse. So I hate is a strong word, but it doesn't have as much culture as a lot of other really cool cities. I mean, one of my favorite cities is Miami because I love the Cuban influence down there.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get to travel to Miami a lot living there. But definitely, I do love that area just from the few times I did go, because you're right. There is culture and you can learn something new. Whereas Orlando, it's cool, but you don't really get to get immersed in something new and something different.
So let's get to the drinking round, right? So Candace, what are you drinking tonight?
So I had my wine glass ready to go. And then in true Georgia fashion, as March is upon us, pollen just loves to sprout its lovely head. So I have switched to some lemon zinger tea with a dash of ginger and honey and turmeric. to help keep all of that together. Ooh. So I'm sipping on that.
I like your mixing in with some ginger and turmeric, because I think what a lot of people don't know, and especially as we're hitting allergy season, mm-hmm. is those basically are both very good anti-inflammatory.
Yes.
Which is very helpful, especially during, you know, pollen season. So if you're looking to avoid, you know, the sneezing and the sniffling, very good solution for that.
Just a little bit of that every morning, and you should, you know, kind of help keep that under control.
That's our little PSA of the day. Now, when you're not drinking, like, that's more of a traditional tea. Do you like sweet tea? Like Southern sweet tea?
Yeah, true Southern fashion. How can you not like sweet tea? everything is amazing with sweet tea.
Anytime I'm in the South, I always get it at least once, but I just feel like it's like 4 parts water, 3 parts sugar.
Absolutely.
That's about right.
Yeah, it should just really be sugar water with a dash of tea.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. Like I'm definitely into tea. And one of the things that I prefer unsweetened, and I always get kind of like, you know, several looks like, you sure you want unsweetened? Because we got to brew up a batch because we don't keep that stuff around.
Yeah, we don't serve that down here.
And then they're like, oh, are you trying to like get it? And then you're going to add the sugar yourself because you only want to have so much. And I'm like, nope, I legit just. And they're like, still, here's your extra sugar just in case you do want to add it. I'm like, no, no,
they push those diabetes on you.
I'm fine. I'm good. So.
I would love to see a place that has like really, really sweet tea and see a guy get the sweet tea and then add more sugar on top of it. That's what I'd really like to see.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are people out there like that. Yeah.
Ron, what are you drinking this evening?
All right. So I've got a little bit of Malort. So
Chicago delicacy.
Yeah. Normally I drink bourbon on this show, but tonight I am drinking some scotch. I'm drinking tonight Jane Walker.
Oh, Jane Walker. That's good.
That is very
That's good. And I had never had that before until it was either you or our father introduced it to us. And yeah, it kind of tastes like a traditional Johnny Walker, but it's a little smoother.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy.
It's got like all the nice peatiness that you love about a nice strong scotch. But I think it's also got some very kind of delicate notes in there as well that just really makes it very smooth, very drinkable. And it's just a very nice scotch in general.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I am representing us for the bourbons right now. I don't know if you've had this. High West Whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's actually very, very good. I just got this a couple weeks ago, and I've enjoyed it.
Mm. Yeah, High West is very, very nice. Now, is it the rye, or is that just the normal?
This is just the regular American Prairie bourbon.
Nice.
Candace, last question.
All right, let's go.
Of this round, we've gotten some amazing responses. No pressure. But pick a piece of art, and the art can be anything. Any type of literature or song or movie, book, can be anything that somehow speaks to you or represents you in some way. And tell us about it.
Let's see. That's a good one. Piece of art. I don't know why I'm Every Woman just popped in my head.
It's a good song.
It is.
I don't feel it quite relates to me, but I do love it.
I don't know. That just popped in my head. And I think it just resonates because as women, I think sometimes we are, I guess in the woman culture, I guess I'll say, mm-hmm. sometimes like we're divided and we think that we're alone and that we have to do things by ourselves. And that's not it at all. Like we really have to be supportive, and I am she and she is me, and we encompass everything. So I guess that would be the piece of art or music.
I love it.
Well, I like that. I'm glad it just came to you. It must have really been there at the tip of your tongue. So sure. Are you talking about the Whitney Houston version? Yes. Or the original version by Chaka Khan.
Ooh.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know that was a lot of people don't know the original Chaka Khan version. And I am a sucker for Chaka Khan. I love Chaka
Khan. Who is not a sucker for Chaka Khan? Mm. I'm just like, that's just iconic right there. So I think the version that I had in my head, it definitely was because I hear the Chaka Khan, Chaka Chaka Khan in my head. So mm-hmm. yes, that one. So definitely the Chaka Khan version.
Oh, terrific. You beat the round. What's your take? Is it more of a fire? Is it more of an ember? Is it more what do you think?
I like Ember. I think I'd
Ember.
go with Ember. One, just because it's, a different term. It's your own thing that you can coin. And I feel like it wasn't like super rapid fast,
Right.
but it wasn't super slow burn either. So I think Ember is perfect.
Well, there it's been settled. Candace has decided for all future. That is what that round will be.
Between two studs, we'll always refer to it as the Ember round. I love it.
I love it on your Sweet 16. Done.
Yes. All right. So we're going to pivot a little bit to some of the, some of the career questions, just personal interests. And so with that, we'll get started. So tell us about your business with working with building up other women. I know, like, we just had a great song that was a great introduction for that. How has COVID changed that? And then what are some of the differences that you've observed specifically in working with women that you've been mentoring in terms of challenges that they're facing going into COVID?
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. So I really help women gain clarity around who they are so they can like take off this mask that they're wearing and just show up as their authentic selves. I think so many times with women, we have so many pressures that we should look a certain way or act a certain way or do something specific, and we end up losing ourselves or never really connecting with our true selves. And I went through that journey personally, seeing women walk around like that. And I'm like, it's just so depressing to try to show up and be everything else to everybody else and not be who I need to be. So I really want women to be able to stand in that and to walk in that and own that unapologetically. So I help women just kind of get to that space. I'm more of a, I guess I'll say a guide, and just helping them figure out what their truth is and who they are and really just learning about themselves and then not being afraid to stand in that no matter where they are, whether they're at work, with family, friends, just anywhere, being able to show up as themselves truly. So with COVID, what has changed? Everything is online now. Everything's online. So I am one of those people, I love online for certain things. Like I love my job online, but when I'm coaching and helping people, I love that face-to-face interaction, be able to read body language, get close if I need to. Sometimes people need a hug, but with COVID, I can't do that. So, trying to transition and get that same feeling and energy through Zoom or whatever has definitely made it a little challenging, but still doable. And I'm able to coach more people, I guess, because I can now bring more on. So it's a lot of more group coaching. So it's COVID has definitely been a little bit of challenge, but I see ways where it has, benefited where I can get more women in to really work with them.
How did this even get started for you? I mean, I think it's so great, but so difficult just on its own for women in the world that we live in to, as you kind of said, stand on your own and not be bashful and just be yourself. But it's a whole nother level to say, well, not only am I going to be that, but I'm going to be that guide for others. Like, how did that happen?
Let's see. Growing up, my mom was very that mother, just she had rules and guidelines, but she was more of, this is your life, you decide. But on the other hand, there was a part where, as parents do, they guide you and they kind of more tell you what you should be doing. Like, hey, you're gonna go to college and you're gonna get a good job, and that's life. And I don't fault my parents or my family for that, but I think sometimes, well, not sometimes, but I think enough time was not spent on defining like what my real skills were and who I was. And so when I got out into the world, I was living as my parents and my family taught me to be, and not what I truly valued and what I truly wanted. So, like I said before, I moved to Atlanta in maybe mid-20s, I think. I showed up and I just kind of just felt this struggle and this tug. I'm like, I'm showing up as this one person, but when I get home, that's not really who I am. And I feel like at work, I'm wearing like one mask because, over here, I want people to like me. I'm showing up with my friends. I'm a totally different person. Showing up, on the dating scene, I'm a totally different person. And I'm like trying to manage all these other people in these masks. And I'm like, but my true self wasn't shining. And so after a while, it just got exhausting. And you know that saying, when you get tired of being sick and tired, you do something about it. So it kind of came in the space of I was dating, and Atlanta is a very interesting spot to date. And I just kept running into these guys, and I'm like, look, and even though I don't necessarily know who I am, I know what they're offering is not it. Like, this just can't be it. And so just doing a lot of like self-seeking and praying. And then it was just like, not going to get too religious here, but I just remember God saying, you know, look, you're searching for everybody else and looking for validation from everybody else. How about you take some time to really figure out where that comes from you, right? Stop seeking it from other people. And so I was like, well, okay, God. And so because, of course, in my 20s, as, you know, some people, I'm like, but when are you going to bring my husband? When's that? Like, because that's what I really wanted to do, God. I didn't, like, thank you for that other stuff, but I really wanted to know when my husband was coming. And so I specifically remember him saying 7 years. I was like, well, 7 years, that's a lot. You know, in your 20s, you know.
But that's a biblical number, though.
Absolutely, Ron. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In hindsight, like, at 7 years, I am... met my fiance, and it was on from there. But in that 7-year journey, I really just took the time to be intentional about getting to know myself, getting to know what I liked, what I didn't like, the good parts of me, the ugly parts of me, like the flaws, and learning how to change those things and be okay with that and accept myself, and learning how to set boundaries, because that's a big one. And just really just getting to know who I am and what I want. Not what my parents said I should be, or not what society says I should be, but who I want to be. I got to that place, and then I started seeing a lot of women, even older women who in your, you know, 40s and 50s, who you think would, you know, have it together, struggling with the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just was naturally led to help them. They would actually just seek me out. Like, how, you know, you just seem so confident about yourself. How did you, you know, get that way? I was like, well, first of all, it was a 7-year journey. So don't think this was overnight. And really just giving them like just little tidbits and tools of really just trying to figure out who they are and connect with themselves and be confident in that. And I think in that journey as well, I kind of learned like that was going to be my purpose in life, just being able to help women just be free that way. And so now it's all kind of just like coming to fruition. So.
Wow. Well, so you mentioned it a little bit, but I'm really curious. How do you find these women, or rather, how do these women find you?
Before I really got serious about coaching women, they would just kind of like pop up. I would a lot of meet them at work, or honest to God, like in the grocery store, people would literally, or women would just start coming up to me and just start talking.
Wow. You have you have an aura.
Yeah. I was like, sure. Well, we're in the middle of the grocery store. If you want to have a chat, let's go. Who am I to stop you? You know,
clearly. That's amazing.
Something. Yeah. And I'm like, they're just strangers. And I've had guys do it as well, but I just connect a little more with women. But that's pretty much how it started. And then now I just finished like a 3-month intense program of really like trying to figure out how to really make this business grow. Just through Instagram or just word of mouth or people I just see in the streets, you know? So yeah, they just somehow find me.
So Candace, I think what's kind of interesting that you kind of hit on, and I think it's something that a lot of men don't really think about, is that there seems to be a very kind of two-dimensional character idea of what a successful woman is. And it's not really realistic, and it doesn't fit with the idea of, like you said, people need to be themselves to both be happy and to be successful.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more about that. Cause I think like with men, it's like, I can think of like, I don't know, 15 different stereotypes of like the super wealthy, powerful business guy, you know, from Steve Jobs to, I don't know, the Monopoly Man. For women, it's like, there really aren't that many different kind of stereotypes. So walk me through a little bit on that, because I'm sure that has to be very hard for a lot of women to get that picture out of their mind to say, no, my idiosyncrasies are what make me unique, that make me a better woman. How do I use that to drive my career and be a better person?
Absolutely. I think it starts with one, removing like those limiting beliefs that we have, that and those stereotypes that society does put on us as women, I'll say to start there. Especially from the view of, you know, women, we're supposed to have children, you get married and you live a great life. You know, that's it. That's all we desire. apparently. But the fact that we have a brain and we have ideas and, you know, living in our truth allows us to show up and give, you know, our purpose in life a voice, right? And I think first it's like busting through those. So I know as a woman, there's a lot of times where I've been in places and just been completely ignored because I'm a woman. Well, you know, you're just supposed to be at home raising the kids. You're really not supposed to be here. So we'll just let you sit in the room, but you can't really say much. And so just learning how to push past that and show up as yourself and really just doing it regardless of how fearful you are and what other people may think of you and what other people may say, because you were put on this earth for a reason and you were here to deliver something, whatever that purpose is. And it's just growing through that. So I hope I answered your question. I think I kind of did.
I think you did. I think
you did. You did. Yeah. Let me ask you this. You know, it's because this is so fascinating to me. And of course, I don't really have a whole lot to contribute to the conversation directly because I don't have that experience as a woman. But I will say this, you know, Ron and I and other men out there, how could we help? How can we, in a way, champion what you and every woman on earth is trying to accomplish?
Oh, that's such a great question. Thank you. I think it's in the sense of seeing women as equal. And when I say equal in the sense of we also have thoughts and we also can run businesses and we also contribute to society and this world. And our place is not just to be meek and humble and raise kids. Because I think sometimes, especially I've met a lot of women where all they think is that having babies defines me. And that's definitely not it. Like, you're so much more than that. So as far as men, just creating that space at the table so that we can also come in and give our opinions without feeling judged or having to feel like, oh gosh, am I going to have to go through this male ego thing of like fighting my way through the conversation because he thinks that, you know, my thoughts aren't as good as his because he's a man. And I will also say, if you have guy friends who are a little more chauvinistic, is not the word I want to use, man cave mentality, I guess I'll say, just respectfully, you know, bringing that to their attention, just being like, hey, yes, she's a woman, but she also has thoughts and ideas just like you do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just that we're not necessarily looking, we're not coming like trying to, you know, take anybody's place. We just want to be included in the fact that, yes, we can also run businesses and we can also, you know, provide great ideas and be able to match you intellectually as well.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, I think that's so cool what you do because, you know, this is such an interesting time in our lives right now with everything going on and obviously with Me Too movements that have happened in the last mm-hmm. couple of years. And one thing that I actually feel really horribly about is that the word feminist has, I feel like with a lot of people, has become a negative thing or has become this thing where it's like, oh, well, these are crazy women who want more than equality. And it has almost a negative connotation now. And it's like, wait, how is that controversial? How is saying that women deserve to put, you know, exactly what you said, a seat at the table, mm-hmm. to be valued equally, how is that this extreme, oh, you're a, you know, I've heard all these phrases, right? And it's like, well, hold on. Why has this word been perverted to mean something that it's not?
I think that's such a great topic because I think it may come from the sense of feeling like they're losing power, right? If I give you a seat at the table, that means I have to give up some of my power. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's not what we're asking for. We're not like trying right. to push you out of the way. We're just saying value us just like you would value another man sitting at the table.
Right.
Value our opinions just as much. And yes, I mean, I'm not saying we're right all the time, but we might be right
a lot of the time, if not more than we are. So
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but sure, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
But
it's at least equal.
Yeah, right. At least equal. Right. And so I think it's that loss of control. And I think it's just those ideals that just have been put in, you know, some men's heads that women are just not supposed to be at the table. Like your job is, you know, in the kitchen and raising the kids or something like that.
See,
nonsense.
And the trouble I have with that, that I find offensive, is just that, like, for my wife, right? She's a very smart woman. She's gotten her master's degree. While she's not working right now, I think the thing is, though, that women are so much more than just a baby maker or whatever stupid stereotypes put out there. My wife, she helps me a lot with various different things. She's somebody who encourages me. She's somebody who's got a tremendous knowledge about a lot of different topics as well. And yeah, if I don't listen to her, it's always going to come back and bite me in the end. But I don't quite understand where that kind of comes from some men, because I think what that kind of indicates to me is some insecurity about your own place in life. Like,
yeah,
if you really are that intimidated by a woman being successful, contributing, and actually providing great ideas that you should listen to, frankly, maybe you need to look at yourself in the mirror to say, mm-hmm. what am I really afraid of? What is so darn, and why am I so insecure that I can't listen to somebody who's legitimately got great ideas that is going to help me? And it goes back to, I think one of the biggest things is that I think that there's so many women in history who have done amazing things. And I think that really women should be shining more than they are. And it's because a lot of men are still very caught in their ways. And we need to kind of do what we can to help address that.
Love it. Yes. Yes. Definitely agree with that. We, as women, we possess a lot of different skill sets and we wear a lot of different hats, but that's not all of who we are. You mm-hmm. know, yes, we're the nurturers and the caregivers and the, you know, sometimes the counselors and the teachers, and all those are great skills as well. But we also have our own dreams and things that we also want to achieve as well. But I think too, growing up, I think we allow, with girls, like we like explore those emotions with them. Well, how are you feeling? You know, are you sad? But with guys, you're like, suck it up. Don't cry. Guys, don't cry.
You know, right. Are you happy or are you sad? If you're not either, you're good.
And there is something to be said at some point. You know, I think women are having a moment right now, at least I'm optimistic that they are, that mm-hmm. that they are transgressing in a positive way and being able to hopefully have that seat at the table, right? Mm-hmm. I do think men at a certain point also need to look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's okay to have a hobby or an interest that's feminine. Mm-hmm. Feminine, right? It's okay to call your friend and cry and
yeah.
you know, like those are things that I think will take time as well. And I think it's not only that men need to get out of the way for women. I think men also need to look in the mirror and work on themselves.
Yes, because you are human at the mm-hmm. like, forget male, female for a minute. You are a human being
yep.
who has emotions. And who just happens to be a male or just happens to be a female. Like,
exactly.
You have these things. Mm-hmm.
So men have to, you know, have to take on a lot as well in terms of going forward, in terms of progressing and getting rid of this rigid, you are one way or the other. So hopefully in time that'll happen. All right. And with that, we're going to go to break. But when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Candace. We're going to hear more about the amazing things she's been working on. I also hear she's interested in maybe starting a podcast in the future. I want to hear about that as well. So when we come back, we will do just that.
What's up, guys? This is Ruben. You may remember me as being the first ever guest on the Between Two Studs podcast. I'm here now to promote my podcast, Guys Who Cry. Me, along with my co-host Adam Cook, we talk about a wealth of topics ranging from men crying, something we all do, to, you know, some lighter things. For example, our newest episode, Adam and I talk about our dating blunders and just weird date stories. So guys, if you would be so kind, head on over to Spotify, Anchor, Apple, iTunes, and hit that follow button. Talk to us. Our Instagram is @guyswhocryofficial. That is guyswhocryofficial. check us out. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're all the way through your last binged podcast and looking for something new, then Foundation Radio has you covered. Interviews, politics, beer drinking, pro wrestling, Dungeons and Dragons, we have something for everyone. Stream the new episodes every Tuesday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You can find all of our archive at foundationradio.net. You can also follow us on Instagram at @foundation_radio. Foundation Radio, something for everyone.
All right, and we're back. We're here with Candace Bird. You know, Candace, from what I understand, you're interested in starting your own podcast. Tell us about that.
Yes, I actually am. So just like you lovely people, I have a lot to say too. And a lot to say when it comes to helping women. I know I coach, but I think there's just so many things that can be shared. And just giving tips and tools on how to just really connect with yourself. So I've been talking all my life. I even remember my mom saying as a kid, I would talk her to sleep. In elementary school, I would get in trouble for just talking too much. So I'm like, hey, just keep let the gift go on. So podcast, and it's going to be kind of around, you know, just helping women, like I said before, gain clarity on who they are and just talk about different things like how to gain emotional intelligence. Because I know that's one thing I struggled with. And being able to not get all in our emotions and allow it to like run us. And then the next thing you know, we're slashing, you know, our boyfriend's tires and, you know, busting out windows and cars and stuff. But not that I did that. But because our emotions aren't under control, sometimes it encourages us to do that kind of stuff. So just emotional intelligence, learning how to stand in your truth, whatever that is for you. Being able to define what life looks like for you. How do you do that? When you're in, like I said, a place where somebody else is telling you what you should be doing. So it's just all that greatness, all that girly stuff, and totally wanting to bring on people as well to learn how to just figure out who you are.
That's fantastic. Well, so when can we listen?
My goal was to get this out the beginning of April, but I really just had to be true to myself and take a real break because I hit the burnout wall and I hit it hard. And every time I would sit down and try to like do a podcast, my brain was like, we're not doing this today. So my goal is the beginning of May. That is my goal.
I love it.
On Instagram, I will keep everybody posted on that.
Well, what is your Instagram?
It's Crack Your Mask. And just being able to kind of release all that goodness up under there. So it's Crack Your Mask, or you can do Candace D Authentically on Instagram.
Terrific. And is Crack Your Mask, will that be the name of the podcast or is that TBD?
So that's TBD. I was thinking kind of like Stepping Into You. I'm still like playing around with that. So, but Crack Your Mask is the Instagram.
I see.
Mm-hmm. I love it. No, and hopefully your experience with us is helpful. I know that's something where others that have been on our show have been like, oh, this was really fun. And that's what we try to be. I mean, I get that. Our show is definitely a little bit more lighter. We love to kind of just get into having guests, have a good time, and just talk through things.
Absolutely. And I do want it to be very similar to just coming in like with your glass of wine or your tea, just taking off, you know, your heels and or whatever, and just really having a conversation and getting to know yourself. So
it's really amazing the medium of podcasting. And it's something we've talked about on a previous episode where we'd mentioned how, you know, years ago, let's just say you picked a really specific niche topic or interest. Mm-hmm. You might not have that many people in your immediate area that have that same level of interest. But when you're pulling from the whole world, yeah. Now all of a sudden you can have a strong community that really can get around a podcast series. I mean, even whether you like him or not, Joe Rogan does 3 or 4 hour long podcast episodes. Ooh. And you go, who's listening to 4 hours of podcast? Well, guess what? He's the most popular podcaster in the world right now. Right. So he's found that group of people who love listening to Joe Rogan. So I think that's really cool. And I certainly, Ron and I are really excited for your podcast. We hope to be able to promote your podcast and we want to have you back on once your podcast is taken off.
Yes. And yes. Likewise. Definitely. I think podcasting is a great way to just build a community and share different perspectives. So I'd love to have you guys on too to get some guy perspective as well.
I'd love that. I think that's something too, where I know Alex, we've talked about it before on previous episodes, but I think one of the interesting things about podcasting is that it does give you a medium to kind of talk about things that maybe aren't part of that normal narrative that fits with the wider media. And it's awesome to be able to just say, hey, I feel this way, or I think this way, or just to kind of hear the every person ultimately, and where they're kind of coming from. Because I think, like, we watch TV, the way that TV is, it's such, there's only so much depth that you can kind of get into.
Well, you have to appeal to a wide audience, right? And we talked about that with the episode of Matt Toll, who is an executive producer for a local news affiliate up in the Philadelphia area. And so, yeah, you're sort of limited to say, okay, well, you need to know the general gist of the topic. We don't want to say anything too controversial because we don't want to alienate anybody. But here in a podcast form, you can say, well, you know what? No, I really want to talk about these hard-hitting issues. Mm-hmm. You know, we're excited that tonight we got to talk with you about an important issue as it relates to gender identity, gender norms, and, you know, just expectations of treating one another. But generally speaking, you know, I think Ron will admit to this, most of our episodes are very probably not as serious as that. Mm-hmm. And this was a really good topic to have.
Well, I was going to say, I want to say thank you for creating this space, though. Even though you guys talk about your interest, being able to create a space where you can have some of these more in-depth conversations to get people really thinking, because you never know who you're going to reach in a podcast, you know, and you never know, you know, what mindset you might change just because you brought up the topic. So I think it's great that you guys are using your space to be able to do that as well.
Well, thank you.
Hey, so Candace, you know, the last thing I wanted to talk about with you, and when I heard of this, it really resonated with me because I've had to deal with the same situation. I hear recently you were engaged, which, by the way, congratulations.
Congratulations.
And you're planning a wedding, and obviously all the multiple setbacks as it relates to COVID. I'm really curious, in part because I'm dealing with the same situation as my own situation with my wife. What's going on with you? How have you been handling all the hurdles? And how's your mindset been changing throughout the whole process?
So weddings, that thing. So first I want to say, I was never that little girl who like sat and just dreamed about her wedding. I wasn't like, you know, playing Barbie dolls. I'm like, oh, I want my wedding. That just wasn't me. So when we got engaged, COVID hadn't hit yet. So I'm like, first of all, I'm like, well, what the heck? I don't know what I want. I haven't been dreaming about this all my life. So first that was already in one step, trying to figure out what the heck I wanted. And then COVID hit. And so now I'm like, well, I really got to reconfigure all this because social distancing. And I am a huge like family person. We both are. So it really, for me, it really was more about getting my family together and just having this really big fun party and celebration like we used to do when we were kids. So it wasn't so much about the glitz and the glam. It was more about like, let's just have some really good food and a really good time. And yes, I do like my girly stuff in there, but that was really my main focus. And so my fiance was very happy about that because he's like, we can do that on a good budget. We don't have to spend that much. But with COVID, it really just makes you think about like, what's really important at the end of the day? Like, is it the, you know, 9-foot aisle runner and the, you know, crystal chandeliers and the birds coming out of the cages? Or is it really about just you and your significant other, like making that union and really just doing the marriage piece? So I really had to just stay focused on that. And as much as I wanted my family there, I wanted it to be nice for us and to have a good time. I really just had to say, what's the most important part at the end of the day? Me and him making that union. And so he also has two teenage boys. So also joining that union as well. So now it's more like we're down to 14 people. The people who were out of states, we're going to Zoom them in. And we found this cute little garden area that we're going to do it in. And then it's done. And we'll do a honeymoon close so we don't have to worry about COVID. And then when we want to do something, a bigger honeymoon later, we'll do that. But at the end of the day, it's really just about, you know, he and I. But I'm interested, Alex, of from a guy perspective, how has it has COVID helped you? Or you're like, we're reducing some of this cost? Or how's that going?
We've moved the date twice.
So have we.
Sounds like a similar story. Hannah and I proposed to Hannah in Boston, where we met in October of 2019. And we had booked everything. We were getting married September 4th, 2020.
We have like similar dates.
Yeah. Okay. Planned everything. Everything was wonderful. Ron's a groomsman. It's terrific. And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you. Everyone originally was like, you know, and this just shows it's funny how like little, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny how little we knew about COVID when it hit about a year ago at this time. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. Everyone I knew was like, oh, by end of the summer, September, everything's going to be great.
It's we'll be fine. No problem.
Yeah. You know, it's, what are you talking about, Alex? Don't worry.
Yeah.
And then it got to like May and I was like, no, this ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so we pushed it. And we pushed it to July of 2021. Mm-hmm. And we were like, all right, well, the world will definitely 100% be good to go by then. 100%. No question.
Gave too much credit to the world.
Yeah, I got strike two on me. Messed that one up. So the latest is actually, and I think this is going to be it. I think is we have decided that we will we were an indoor wedding downtown Pittsburgh, which is where Hannah's family's from. Mm-hmm. What we decided to do was move it outdoors and away from downtown, and it's all everything's outdoors. And we've actually already been legally married. We did the whole courthouse thing, and that's a whole story.
I love it.
It's kind of funny. Hannah and I have gotten married, and it's a great thing, although our lives didn't change much because we were already living together and all that. But we recognize that, yes, we got married, but this is not just about us. There's a lot of people who want to celebrate and not only want to celebrate, but it's not, this sounds bad. It's they want to celebrate. It's not necessarily celebrate Alex and Hannah, although I'm sure that's a thing, but it's like, I want life to return to normal in some degree. I want to listen to music. I want to be outside. So we'll see. The plan is right now, and we're not changing it again. Like if this doesn't happen, Candace,
you're already married.
Like, yes, if the third time, the third date doesn't work out, I think we're just gonna walk away and just take the money and enjoy it.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
I think that's where we are because we've pushed. We got engaged September 2019. And so, so we were like getting ready to plan as well. And I'm like, for some reason, I didn't book the venue. I don't know what happened, but I was like, thank God I did it. Because having to do all of that and undo it. And so I'm with you. Like, we're not pushing this again. I don't care if I'm not a big courthouse person. So I'm like, we can go to the beach and do it. We can like just you and I somewhere in the middle of a park somewhere. But I'm with you. You're not pushing this again. It's just not happening.
Well, so when is the date for you?
So it is September. We're working with the venue right now to figure out like what dates work. Like I said, we do have 14 people that are coming. So trying to just make sure that they can get down here safely and giving them enough time to travel. His family's from Indiana. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to just drive down. So giving them enough time. So September is it, though. I'm like, I'm not pushing this again.
Well, that's exactly, it was funny. Like the venue that we had booked originally, they were like, well, if you want to push this off until 2022, like, we can work with you on that. And I laughed. Hannah and I laughed. And we're just like, we've already been planning a wedding for like,
almost
a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. We're done.
I have to imagine for Candace, for both your fiance and Alex, for you, it's very tough to think about how do you make sure that somebody has that Cinderella moment where they meet their wife meets their husband, who's that Prince Charming.
Aww.
And especially during COVID, it's a really tough thing. The important thing to think about is that Alex and Candace, your fiance, they love you so much that they want to provide the best possible thing that they can for you.
Your words in this episode are very sweet. It's by far the sappiest episode. I love it.
I love it. And
it's important, though.
Love that, you know, you guys, and my fiance same way too. Like, you guys just want the best for us. And we truly, as women, I will say, we do truly appreciate that you want to give us the world. So,
yeah, I think you hit it right on the head though earlier, Candace, when you said at the end of the day, you know, Hannah and I had to reassess and evaluate what are the priorities.
Yes.
And, you know, it is tough because maybe some of those things that you really, really thought you wanted, all of a sudden you realize, well, do we need this for it to be a great day?
Right.
Maybe not. But when you were a little girl or a little guy, maybe you did want that. So it is an adjustment, but you have to balance out wanting to celebrate a really great day, but you also want to celebrate, or you want to ensure the safety of everyone.
Yes.
And not only safety, but comfort. Right. There's also that element too of people who would come. Are they going to be comfortable? Are they going to feel at ease? Because a wedding where people are tense and not comfortable is not going to make for a good wedding. So Candace, we are so thankful for the time you've taken being our guest, being on episode Lucky 16. So I want to make sure that we are in the know for when you launch your podcast. So how can we, again, I know you already mentioned it earlier, but just so we're all aware, how can we follow you and keep track of what's going on in your world?
Awesome. First, I want to say thank you so much for inviting me on and getting to kick it with you guys. I've had such a good time. You can reach me on Instagram at crackyourmask or Candace D Authentically, or you can email me at crackyourmask@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Perfect. And Ron, we'll make sure that we link to that on our website, twostuds.com.
Candace, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. We're looking forward to having you back sometime in the future.
Right. I'm excited. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And with that, we will wrap it up.